You know, there's a website. There are all kinds of websites on the internet devoted to revenge spells and curses. I don't know if anybody's ever cursed you or not, but I'm going to open up a curse hotline. That number is 818-817-0021. I mean, for example, this one says, are you hassled by a person who has it in for you? Know someone out there who deserves to get it? Are you tired of being the victim? You want to fight back? Cast a spell. Wow. I don't think I've ever cast a spell against anybody or cursed anyone. But I wonder, have you or have you been cursed? So share that story with us. We'll be right back with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let's start by going east of the Rockies, my old hometown in Detroit, Michigan. Darnell's with us, and now on Coast to Coast. Hi, Darnell. Go ahead.
Hey, Norrie. I'm a first-time caller. I've been trying to get through for a long time. I'm just going to talk about the shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about, I live in a neighborhood where I grew up with this situation. I've been bothered by the spirits for a long time. No one believed me. My local police officer knows about the family that conjured up these spirits or aliens themselves that I knew of since I was a little kid. And they've been bothering me. Like last night, I just seen a shadow female in my room, walked in the room, and jumped in the bed.
Jeez.
They be bothering me and taunting me every day.
Is it the entire family of ghosts that are out there?
I believe so. You know, they all just converge in the neighborhood just to haunt me and my family.
Whereabouts are you? You know, I was born in Detroit, so I know it well. Give me some big cross streets.
Schoolcraft and Southfield.
Okay, know them well. Know it really well. As a matter of fact, I grew up on Joy Road in Lauder, right up there.
Okay.
Not too far from where you are.
All right, then.
Well, what happened? What do you think happened in that house a long time ago?
I don't know. It's just something that someone put on me because the people across the street were shining that little lights at our house, which I find out was some kind of necronomy technique. You know, I had a girl next door laughing about they put a familiar spirit on me. I have a recording of that, and the local police not doing nothing about it. We have people living in the neighborhood that practice necronomy and all voodoo's.
And they must be pretty good at what they're doing if this is working.
Yeah, because they've been bothering me ever since I've been a little kid. You know, if you have, I know some people that had something go up there, you know, behind. And I don't know, that's some kind of technique or something. I know quite a few people that I know that say that happened to them. They were laying in the bed, and it felt like something went up there behind.
Darnell, this could get even more serious. This could get dangerous for you.
I'm getting assaulted every day.
I don't know every what we can do. Assaulted. I don't know who's in that Detroit area that could help you. I'm going to have to think about that.
I called some people. They say they booked up to October. And the people who I know that can deal with it, they live out of town. I don't have no income. They had them to come in and do something about it.
Now, the people who put the curse on all of you, are they still around?
These would happen to be people who I grew up with. These people who I grew up with. People who I hung with, went to the clubs with, and they turned on me because it's more to this than what I'm saying. But nobody had the right to do anything to you, and they could have helped you when you asked for help, but they didn't help.
All right. Well, you're going to have to get some help out there, Darnell, before this gets really serious on you. Bristol, Pennsylvania, it's Al's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Al, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, George, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing
sorry
great.
I'm sorry I missed Josh a little bit, but without taking up time, was he talking about a movie, too?
Yeah, there's a big movie coming out next Friday called The Apparition.
Oh,
and
yes.
it's a Warner Brothers movie. They spent like $17 million producing it.
Sounds great. I heard a thing on the radio today riding into work. But I want to tell you, you're talking to somebody that did see a ghost. Incredible. In my house, when I built my house, it was a night where for some reason I was getting the vibes of spirit, whatever you want to call it, but I was getting the vibes. It was probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. I heard noise out in my kitchen. Heard noise, actual pots kind of rattling and things. But I looked down the hallway, okay? And right next to the hallway is the kitchen and then my daughter's bedroom. And I saw this figure of a woman run right through, and I got scared. I actually got scared and excited, okay? I seen it run right through my daughter's bedroom door. Incredible.
It is incredible.
Yeah, and I actually seen it. I thought it looked like a toga. And I talked to my daughter about this later. She said it was more like an Indian garment. I said, you know, now that you mention it, I think it was. I think I this house I built it on top of an Indian cemetery, I think. But anyway, I did see it, and I'm the ultimate pragmatist and all that type of thing, and I seen it, and it did scare me. And I stood there waiting for others. I was excited, too, kind of, when you see something like this, you know.
Of course, yeah.
Right, right. And it went right through my daughter's bedroom door, right in, and almost to kind of rush speed, okay? And I stood there waiting and waiting and waiting. I thought more was going to happen, you know. But and that this was about 15 years ago, and nothing has ever happened since. But I did see it. Incredible. Just incredible.
That's a good story. Thanks for sharing that with us. Next up, let's go to our cursed line. Aaron's with us on Coast to Coast in Holyoke, Massachusetts. Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
What do you got? Who's cursing? Are you cursing someone, or are they cursing you?
I would never do that.
Good. All right, good.
Something was going on with me during I'm a little, it's kind of hard to get into it, but I'm going to. What happened was It was October of 2010.
Okay, a couple years ago.
And this is when everything started. All this weird stuff. Everybody's been feeling it. And I know what's going on. Yeah, this is really crazy. They put me, after I worked in some houses, some pianos started playing by themselves. And
pianos started playing?
Started happening.
What were they playing?
I didn't really, huh?
They played a special tune or just...
No, I was playing on the piano, and something was going on, and then I left on the porch, and my partner was with me. He heard, he's like, what's going on? There's somebody's playing on the piano, and I'm like, dude, that sounds like what I was just playing. It can't repeat that, you know? And so anyways, we were working in these houses, and I started feeling like the boss that I was working for. I could feel him staring at me, and every time I turned, my back was burning. I turned around, he was looking at me, and then he kept saying something to me. He's like, "Yeah, we better get the nail gun." I was like, "Wait, oh Jesus, please help
me." A nail gun?
Oh. Yeah. I'm like, "Lord Jesus, please help me." And they kept talking about the lions and stuff, and I'm like, "Nah, dude, I'm a Leo, you know." And yeah.
Is this still like ongoing now? It's been 2 years.
Oh, no. I got everything under control for myself.
You do?
Yes. Okay. What happened was I ended up going to the hospital because I started feeling like a lot of energy. And I needed to get to the reservation up in Aquasauce in New York. And I still feel like I need to get up there. And my family placed me in the hospital. I explained to them what was going on, the spiritual stuff, because it's in my family and we know all about it. And
did your family believe you?
They're having a hard time still believing it, but I know for a fact this is true and I need some backup, you know? Like no one wants to believe, everybody wants to just keep putting me in the hospital and I know what's going on.
And Aaron, let me ask you this. Are they trying to give you prescription drugs and stuff like that?
Yes, but I refuse to take it because I did a witch's bottle. And what happens is when you use that, is any witches that try to hurt you, it just reflects back because you have to urine in a bottle with nails and screws and glass. And what happens is it goes back. Anything they try to do to you goes back. If they have to go claw through your DNA through nails, and by the time they get to it, they're done.
Now, let me ask, when you say you've got this under control now, what do you mean by that?
I have this thing. It's called the Merkava. It's like Star of David with three-dimensional.
Right.
Bible. But
I know about that.
Yeah. And I've been using this. It's the key of David. I believe this is the key of David.
And so it's helping you.
Yeah. And I have an altar set up in my room. I have a candle.
Nothing wrong with that.
Always a candle lit. I have a medicine stick. I have my talking feather. I have prayer rocks.
How old are you now, Aaron?
My birthday was August 14th.
Well, happy birthday. How old?
I'm 25.
Oh, yeah. You're still a baby next to me.
Yeah, but I've been trying to get through for so long.
Well, now let me ask you, like in your day-to-day life, I mean, are you working? Can you carry a job, or has that affected you?
I feel like I have to protect those around me. It's so hard to like understand everybody's like, what do you do with yourself?
Do you live by yourself now?
No, I live with my family.
Okay, so they're home now?
Yeah.
All right. And are they listening to you make this phone call, or you're cool?
No. I'll find it later online or something. I'll let them hear it.
Okay. Yeah, you know.
And when they sent me to the hospital, they understood me because it was a Catholic hospital.
Right. They probably thought you were possessed or something.
No, I told them I feel like I could control the weather. And this is really, like, I'm not crazy.
Well, you better let it rain in the Midwest if you can control the weather, huh?
I'm really not joking. I need some, like, you know anybody that can, like, I can prove some things? Like, I have this thing where I can just, like, I don't know. I feel like just being in a room, the negative energy goes into me, but I spit it out.
Do you have a computer, or do you have the ability to send emails?
Yeah, but I can spit evil out of my mouth. It comes out, and they're like, what are you doing? Like, eventually, it's like white foam.
Well, we don't want you to spit evil out unless you get rid of it. Because
when I'm a sponge. I absorb energy, goes to me quick, and I get paranoid, and I'm like, oh, God, I got to fix it. So I'd like clean
my room. Like, you're like a human filter.
Yes, and I need some people to know about this, and nobody wants to hear it. So my friend, I got a friend, though. I don't want to say his name.
All right.
So, his name is Lewis. That's his nickname.
But he understands you.
He understands me, and you know what? I had a friend. I really want to finish a lot of this story. I don't want to take up all your time, though. But I have so much I could tell you.
You know what I want you to do? I want you to send me an email, because what I want to do is look at this story first, and then I might have some people email you back. So send me an email at George@. Simple. George@coast2coastam.com. That's the hard part. Coast2coastam.com. And just lay that story out for me, Aaron. I want to look at it and try to get some people back in touch with you, okay? Next up, Benjamin in Hilliard, Washington. You've been on hold for a long time, Benjamin, haven't you?
Yeah, it was quarter after the last hour.
Well, thanks. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I had a life-changing paranormal experience I wanted to share with you and kind of get your opinion on it.
Sure.
Because it was absolutely just odd.
What happened?
14 or 15 years ago, I had some pretty severe life-threatening substance abuse issues. And I won't really get into that because it's not really related a whole lot. But I had been up for a period of days, if not weeks. And I was at the point to where I was very close to heart failure or death.
I would guess so. My God.
And I went for a walk in the middle of the night to kind of get my heart beating at a normal pace, kind of work some of the poison out of my system. And I came home shortly before sunrise to my dwelling, and I noticed probably about half a dozen figures on top of my house. And they were 7 to 8 feet tall, very, very thin, and just pitch black. And they had horns and big almond-shaped eyes and Cheshire Cat smiles and tails.
The devils.
They were dancing around like some type of voodoo type of ritualistic dance, and they were ripping shingles off of my house.
Ben, they were coming for your soul.
Well, I attributed it to sleep deprivation hallucinations at this time.
You would think.
So I went to bed, and I said, okay, I just got to get some sleep, right? And I went up, and my bedroom was actually the master bedroom upstairs, so I was directly below the roof. And they were dancing around so hard that the plaster was actually coming out of the ceiling into my eyes.
Wow.
And I pulled the blanket over my head. I said, I just got to get some sleep. This will go away. This is just a hallucination, right?
A bad one.
Yes. Well, I woke up in the morning, and I had plaster dust all over me, and I look out on the lawn. There's about 400 shingles on my lawn.
The devils were doing what they were doing.
And I was very scared at this point, and I contacted my high school sweetheart, my ex-girlfriend, who's actually a Wiccan healer. And for some reason, I was just drawn to her, and I went to her for advice, and she pulled out a woman's spirit guide and told me to flip through it And she says, don't look at or study anything that doesn't relate to your story, but look and see if there's anything in there that you recognize.
That was pretty good advice, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. And I was raised Jehovah's Witness, by the way, so this is just absolutely...
You're the one who woke me up on a Saturday morning.
it was just foreign and foul to me at this point, and I'm not really not knowing what to think of it. And I'm flipping through the pages of this book, and these suckers popped out about 6 inches out of the book and said, here I am, as I passed the page, and I read it, and it said, the imp demon. And the description or definition of these entities were beings sent from the netherworld to remind tortured souls of the path they're on if they do not change their ways. And this struck me as so odd that a very obviously demonic entity would almost fill a guardian angel role. And I was scared so badly by this that I... not immediately, but eventually checked myself into rehab and got cleaned up.
And after you got cleaned up, did any of this continue?
No, not at all.
That went away. So do you think you were hallucinating?
Actually, no. There was physical evidence of the experience, and
I mean, maybe you had roofers there and you thought that they were devils or something.
Oh, this was about 5 o'clock in the morning, George.
Roofers don't work that early.
No, sir. And I found out later that the dwelling that I was in at this point was a hospice or a rest home that had been renovated and turned into housing.
Uh-huh.
So there had been hundreds, if not thousands, of souls that had passed in this building.
Do you think they were after you?
I don't think they were after me. I honestly think it was giving me a little stab with pitchfork to let me know what my future was going to be like if I ended my life in this way by neglecting and abusing my God-given gift of life.
Well, they do work in mysterious ways, don't they?
It's so odd to me that such an obvious negative force could have such a positive role to play in someone's life.
Well, I'm glad you pulled out of it, and you sound good now.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, excellent. And we're going to continue. This was got to be one of the fastest half hours in talk radio, but we're going to do this when you come right back. I'm going to tell you a little bit what's in store next week as well, and we've got more open lines next hour, too. Don't forget the cursed hotline. Just take care of it. Do it. Interesting weeks, the last couple of weeks, by the way. They are saying that there is a sunspot that is poised to shoot off another M-class or X-class flare. It is on the northeast corner of the sun, pointed right at us. Let's hope it makes its turn and gets out of the way. Anyways, we're not going to get out of the way. We're going to come right back for you on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's time for our shout-out to those of you who listen to Coast on our more than 563 radio stations across North America. Hello to all of you. Coast Insiders, thank you. And XM Talk Channel 168. How about the various chat rooms and groups that are out there? Into Infinity, headed up by the old guy named Sean. Of course, he's not that old. Fantastic Form 2, Imaginative World, Sorcery IRC, those who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, the National Radio Club, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group. How about the Nighthawk Nation and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis, who has now become a household word there. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Jam-packed open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. As you know, we also take your text questions. And Tom has the text phone, and he gets them all. What do you got for us?
This one is from Tony in Garden City, Kansas. It says, George, I hear you talking about curses. I've had bad stuff happen to me for 2 weeks now. How do I tell if I am cursed or if I just have bad luck?
I don't believe in bad luck. I think things are happening for a reason. And in terms of the curse, I don't know that. I don't know if somebody's put a curse on you or whether you've done this to yourself by, you know, the way you've lived or something like that. That I don't know. Only you would know that. But in terms of bad luck, no. I think the cloud is over all of us, and we pull it there.
You think everybody has bad luck?
No, I don't believe in that. I think people have the capability of pulling a black cloud over their head. You remember Howard, my producer in St. Louis?
Yes.
Used to deal with him when I was, you know, working part-time here and full-time there.
I do.
And Howard has a black cloud over his head. And I'm not saying anything I haven't told him, and I'm not saying anything he doesn't already know. But he has a black cloud over his head. And he comes in, he'd come into work, and the first thing he'd say was, "What's going to happen to me today?" You know, rather than it's a nice day and stuff. I think people bring these things onto themselves.
But he's a pretty good guitarist, right?
Oh, he's a great guy and a good guitarist. He
kind of balances.
He's going to meet Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top when he goes to St. Louis. Anyway, also, we're starting a new feature starting Wednesday, the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically getting people to sound off here on Coast to Coast. How are you doing with getting those emails?
We're doing okay. We could use a few more people. Just email us at whatyouthinkeditorial@aol.com and just let us know what you think. Keep it, if you can, to under a minute or maybe a minute and a half, but just something maybe you want to get off your chest.
And you want a phone number?
A phone number.
So you can obviously look at it, email them back, and then you're going to record them, right?
Right. The ones we pick, we will record.
And we'll play during a segment. Okay.
Well, let them sound off.
Well, you know what? It's just an extra way of getting people involved in the program, and I think that's critical.
People need releases nowadays.
Yep, absolutely. And the subject matter, what? Anything?
Anything they want. I mean, we'll pick it, so obviously we'll, you know.
Sure.
But, yeah, anything they want to say. What's on their chest, get it off.
There's no make it too political.
No.
Save that for the morning, guys.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Okay, next up, let's go to the phones now. We shall go to Chris in Toronto, Canada. Hey, Chris, thanks for calling.
Hey, George, how you doing?
I'm doing good. So tell me about the curse.
I'll tell you about the curse, yeah. So the deal is I'm currently a metaphysical practitioner here in Toronto. I work out of one of our more famous shops. However, in my younger, more inexperienced and stupider days, I think that we all have at some point.
We've all done stupid things.
Oh, good grief, yeah. Back in high school, I'm 31 years old now. Wow, I had to think about that for a second. Back in my high school days when I initially got into this sort of thing, I'm willing to openly admit at this point that, I got into it for the lure of power. The lure of, especially seeing as I was pretty heavily bullied. And
I can see that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Kind of where it was coming from, right?
Yep.
So I decided that I was going to exercise some of this newfound knowledge on some of my assailants, if you will. And basically what I did was I more or less decided that I was going to try and send them. I was going to almost pseudo-psychically, empathically, but through empathetic magical means, project to them more or less the feelings, what I was feeling. Okay, so some of the anxiety, the fear, most importantly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more or less what I did. So, and interestingly enough, I have to say I experienced a good 6 months to a year of relief from that.
Of total bliss, right?
Well, but I mean, you know, not knowing at all what they were going through. And one of my current teachers, this is the one thing I'm blessed to have, some of the most phenomenal teachers that one can have right now. Actually, one of them is friends with a guest of yours that you had, I think, Lon Milo Duquette.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my...
Lon was just teacher. On.
Yeah, yeah. He's awesome. One of my favorite people, actually. He's amazing. So I've since been taught, you know, more or less that when anybody does these things, it's kind of like baking a pie, and one has to be willing to eat half of that.
That's right. It has a ripple effect. And it'll come back. It'll haunt you.
Very much so. And as a result of that, you know, I think I've paid that karmic debt between you and me.
You
and
got it. It's done.
World,
so. All right. What's this? Stay in the light, my friend.
Well, what the only I was going to mention too, just before I get off, that I'm quite busy, but I can take the occasional pro bono case. So if any of I don't know how that would work, but if anybody needs help, if they can't afford it or whatnot, I suspect you're going to get a number of horror stories tonight. So, you know, it's possible. I can do what I can do.
Okay, you got that. And send us your Facebook account or something. Maybe we can just link you up. Let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Joe's on the curse line. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
It's been a while since I've called on this show, so.
I'm glad you got
Anyways,
through.
I wanted to share with you a curse, too. You know, like the last, my story sort of similar to the last part, you know, I mean, I work with in metaphysics and New Age stuff, too. And most of the stuff I do is, like, stuff on myself, you know, self-empowering spells and all that. But I have done a couple curses in the past, and I don't even mess with that anymore because it just ain't even worth the energy.
How upset did you get with these people when you did a curse? I mean, did you want to get at them?
Well, I've only done it a couple times. The one person I really did want to get at, and the other one was just like sort of like experimenting kind of a thing. But before I tell you what I did, I wanted to have a suggestion for a future show really quick.
Sure.
You know how you have the coast-to-coast Instapoll
from
the time?
Yes.
I was thinking, if you like take like maybe your 10 or 15 most popular coast-to-coast frequent guests, have them all listed on a coast-to-coast Instapoll, and have the listeners vote on who their favorite is, tally up the results, and then make arrangements so that sometime down the road, have a show, you can call it like a listener's choice night, and then like have whoever won
that. Just have them march through. All right, not a bad idea.
Okay, so my curse. It's about 3 or 4 years ago at my last job that I worked at. This my one boss. I ain't gonna say her name, but she was. I don't know. She was out to get me. She wanted to. She was trying to make up any reason to fire me or try to get rid of me
from the get go. Right.
Yeah, she was out to get me, and it was really hard at times. I mean, she had me crying like crazy sometimes. It was just really stressful. The job was really easy, but she was just breathing down my neck all the time, and it just drove me up the wall, and I just got so frustrated. So I said, the parking lot goes circular around the building, and so you have to drive around the building and leave. So as I was leaving work one particular day when I got really upset because she really got to me, I said out loud as I was leaving, I said her name, and I said, I curse you. I hope you go through the same living hell that you have been putting me through. And I said that 3 times. And it really all comes down to focus and tension. You know,
it does. What happened?
Yeah. So anyways, I said that, and I left for work that day. And then so several days went by. And then one of the days when I was back at work, I happened to stumble into her office, and she was bawling her eyes out. She was crying like crazy. And I'm like, oh man, what did I walk into? I'm thinking.
You knew right then, didn't you?
Yeah. And I said, so, is everything okay? And she's like, she looked at me, and she got this real nasty look, and she said, these last few days have been a living hell for me. And I didn't even ask her. I didn't even want to know what was wrong with her. I didn't even ask her. I didn't even want to know, George. I was like, okay.
How did you feel, Joe, about that afterward? Honestly.
I don't know. Afterwards, you know what? I don't do any type of negative curses anymore because I think that whatever energy someone puts out, came back to her some way or another. You know, every action has opposite and equal reaction. So that's why I don't even like mess with.
Yeah, but do you think for a little bit you were glad that you got her?
Oh, yeah, there was certainly a little part of me. Yeah, that was. Yeah, absolutely. You know, but I mean, I don't even mess with any of the negative stuff.
It's very.
Everything comes around.
Yeah,
you know?
It's very powerful. Thanks, Joe. Next up, we go to New Orleans. Matt's with us, first time caller. Matt, thanks for holding.
Yeah, hi, George.
Hi.
I just got off work, and as soon as I got in my car, turned on the radio, I heard your guest talking about the LaLaurie Mansion. I'm a tour guide, a carriage driver in the French Quarter.
Okay.
I pass that place anywhere from 5 to 10 times a night. And I heard him saying that they don't give tours, and that's true, but I have seen people that stay there. I don't know. Nobody stays there permanently, but you know, we recently had the SEC basketball tournament and the NCAA Final Four, and during both of those tournaments, it was a kind of surreal thing with all the Kentucky fans up on the balcony hooping and hollering, and I was just kind of looking at them wondering. I was like, do you know where you're staying right now? And it's a really creepy place.
It sure is.
When I first started working at that job, there's so many. I don't know. Like I said, I got in right at the end of your guest. So I don't know if he told the story of what happened there. But when I started doing a job, I would stop right on the corner right there and start telling people what was going on there. And I learned now to kind of condense the story and start it earlier and end it later, because the mules do not like to stop in front of that house.
They can feel it, can't they?
Oh, yeah. They get freaked out. Not like any other. I'll stop them in front of other places and tell my tour guests about the places, and they don't have any problem stopping anywhere else. But when they stop in front of that house, there's something going on there.
Off they go. Thanks, Matt. Let's go to Steve, Ashland, Oregon, Skype line. Go ahead, Steve.
How you doing, George?
Okay. How are you?
Pretty good. My story concerns, I was raised on a 110-foot Navy boat.
Really? All right.
From World War II. And I don't want to say what kind it was, because then everybody will know who's calling.
Okay.
Anyway, I've had several ghost experiences on this ship. My grandfather, when I heard something crawl up the bow, which is where I lived, was in the forecastle. You know what a forecastle is?
Yep.
That was my bedroom. And it sounded like something jumped on the deck and it scared the heck out of me. And I ran up and got my grandfather, and he came down and he goes, "Oh, it's probably the crew." He said, "I've walked through here several times and I've heard the crew playing cards."
Holy cow. He knew.
Yeah. Huh?
He knew. He knew all about that ship.
That was about 30, when I was 30. When I was a kid, I would be walking through, and if the lights were all off and I was going towards the stairs to go up into the galley, I felt like I needed to get out of there as soon as I could.
Did this ship have many people die on it?
No. Matter of fact, we had the log, and it was pulled on the beach one time down in New Zealand. And then the tide went out, and they could work on the hull because I guess they ran it aground or ran over some corals or something, coral reef. But one time when I was about 23, I was talking to this girl on the phone. She was sort of my girlfriend. And I was telling her, asking her what I was looking at in the ammunition locker, which was right next to my room. And she said, "Well, it's about as big as a baseball," which it was, and it was like a light. I have no idea what it was. And she described everything. We used to have you ever heard of a town called El Viso?
I have not, no.
It's in California, near San Jose. That's where it was docked. Right now it's under about 6 feet of water in the Sacramento Delta.
Did they sink it?
No, it... the ghost?
No, the ship.
No.
How did it go down?
Basically a storm, and being up in the Delta, it's hot, and the seams kind of expanded down by the waterline.
But you're sure nobody died on it?
Not that I know of.
Huh. I don't know why a ship like that would stay haunted.
But the channel had a reputation for a ghost that would, and I've heard this in other places, she would be walking through the water at low tide calling for her babies that died.
Wow. And maybe they jumped on the ships. That's very possible. That's a great story, Steve. Lots of great stories. Curse line is open. Let's go next to Josh in West Laco, Texas, on the wild card line. Hi, Josh. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. It's one of those great nights tonight.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you. I didn't feel it. First off, that last gentleman I called about the ship.
Yeah.
A reason why it might be haunted was because they might have used past battleships. Where people have died. You know, there was a case about an airliner that people report seeing stewardesses, but you know they went to the back and never came back. You know. And
whoa.
It's because they recycled a plane part. So
I remember that.
It could happen. Oh, but it's written in regards to a curse, actually. That's the reason why I'm calling you. I actually got on with Dave Schrader, got to talk to him about it with Nick Gross when he was on it. The thing is, my father, he had a girlfriend, right, back when, about like 10, 12 years ago.
Okay.
And they had a kid, right? And the lady that he was with was, you know, from Mexico. Me being from Texas, I'm close to the Mexico border. So there's a lot of people that come from Mexico. Well, this lady believed in witchcraft, and my mom believes that she actually had a curse placed on us. One day when my mother was digging in the lawn, she found a lemon wedge with certain herbs and like a picture or something like that there. So she got really scared.
Who's the picture of?
Oh, we couldn't tell. It was there for so long. It got disintegrated.
Yeah, decomposed on you.
Yeah, yeah. And a lady actually who is friends with my father's girlfriend, she actually came forward to my mom and said yes. This is how my mom found out. She told her.
Why would she want to curse all of you?
Just because the lady is very spiteful. She wanted my father, but my mother and my father and my mother always had problems. That's one of the reasons why I think that they had been followed by a little ghost. I actually got on a couple of days ago. I'm the same Josh that got on. My family's been followed by a ghost. One of the reasons why I thought they were followed by a ghost was demonic possession or because of a baby that was born stillborn. But one of the reasons why I think it would be a demonic possession or a demonic spirit following us is because there's always been, you know, some kind of tragedy going on in my family.
Yeah, that is scary. And it's unfortunate that somebody would place a curse on the entire family. We're going to come back, talk more on Coast to Coast AM right around the corner. We'll be right back.